As we come out of that time of worship and singing the songs that have a lot of praise and adoration, reflecting on who God is and what He's doing in our lives, I hope that's been helpful for you this morning, this afternoon, or this evening, whenever you're watching this, to reflect on God's goodness. You see, as we come to this Thanksgiving, as we come to carry on this idea of spiritual disciplines, one of the disciplines that we wanted to highlight, and it fits really well with Thanksgiving, is the idea of gratitude. And some of you might be sitting there thinking, what does gratitude have to do with a spiritual discipline? Well, I believe that gratitude, or the power of gratitude in our lives, can be altering our lives, can change our lives, can deepen our walk with God, and can help us to understand even better who God is in our lives and to reflect on Him, not just on what He does for us and not just on what we have. And so as we come into Thanksgiving, I know there's lots of decorations. We got pumpkins, decorations on walls, lots of fall colors. But one of the decorations that lots of people have is what is called a cornucopia, or the horn of plenty. And this is actually comes out of Greek and Roman mythology, the idea there of a god pulling off a horn off of a mythical creature and it producing a plentiful whenever it was asked for. It would just continue to keep producing and producing. And we sort of brought that into modern day culture where the horn of plenty is really a wicker basket that's in the shape of a horn. And it's used as a symbol of a blessing and of plenty out of the harvest. And usually out of it are flowers and plants and fruit and vegetables and all sorts of things that it just continues to produce that. And what a great image when it comes to the idea of Thanksgiving or the idea of gratitude. Because as you look at that, you realize all of the things that we have. And Thanksgiving being around the harvest season is just a perfect example of that. Farmers would work their field day in, day out. They would work really hard, and at the end, they would reap this harvest that hopefully would be plentiful. But sometimes those times, it would get to a point where there was a storm that would come in earlier, would wipe out part of the crop. So farmers never knew when the time they planted the seed to the time they harvested, how much would actually come out. And so if there was a good harvest, there was a great celebration and a great thankfulness. And even if there was a little harvest, whatever they got, they were thankful for. And so as we come to this idea of the power of gratitude in our lives as a spiritual discipline, I want us to walk through a number of verses and found in the Bible that will help us understand what the power of gratitude actually does for us. And because I believe that it can impact our day-to-day lives in a very powerful way. I also believe that it can be helpful for us to take in the reality of a situation far better than maybe if we had not had the idea of gratitude in our life. And lastly, I believe it impacts us as we how we treat others with generosity. Because when we have grateful hearts, when we have that discipline of gratitude in our lives, I believe wholeheartedly that we will be a far more generous people as well. But first, let me look at the idea of how the power of gratitude changes the way we view God. It can change the way we view God. And for this, I want us to look at Psalm 136. In Psalm 136, it's one of those passages that we see where there is a little bit of encouragement or part of the passage, and then a refrain that comes in all the way through. And in this one, it's His love endures forever. And so in Psalm 136, as we look at the first three verses, what it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever." And in that three short passages, we realize that God is referred to as the God, and to give thanks to Him, to the Lord, for the God of gods and the Lord of lords. It really is just giving thanks at this beginning of who God is. And I think sometimes we can get caught up in the idea of going to God before we even worship Him, just to go with our requests, to go with the things that we're asking for, to get right into the meat of what our prayer life is or our worship is. But here we're reminded to take a step back. Here we're reminded in this passage to give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good. Simply, He is good. We give thanks to God for He is good. And then in verse 2, give thanks to the God of gods. Because He is God, and He is the God of all gods. And lastly, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, because He is the Lord of Lords. And in each refrain, it says, His love endures forever. Gratitude that His love endures forever. Gratitude that He is our God. And as we focus on Him and not what He does for us, I think it changes our viewpoint. It changes our understanding a little bit of who God is in our life, doesn't it? And it's interesting, as you were to go through this psalm, and we're not going to spend all the time going through each of the verses, but if you look at verses 4 to 9, you're going to realize that the author changes the focus from that to then how He is creator. He spends these from verses 4 to 9 just on all the things that God created. And each time he suggests something, then he is reminded of His love endures forever. Throughout all of creation, which was an act that happened at the very beginning, the God created all these things because His love endures forever, even at the beginning of time. And then as you look at verses 10 to 16, we see that God is our deliverer. As the author then goes through and talks about all the things that God did to bring them out of Israel out of Egypt, and to provide that deliverance in a very miraculous way, each step of the way, His love endures forever. There's God's provision. There's God's deliverance for us. And then in verses 17 to 22, it starts off here, who struck down the king of kings, the great kings, His love endures forever, and killed the mighty kings, His love endures forever. And he goes on to all of the things that God did to protect the Israelites, to protect His nation, that God not only is the creator and the deliverer, but He's also the protector. His love endures forever. And then finally, as we get to the verses 23 to 26, we see the fact that God is our sustainer. That He comes right back to us and realizes that, you know, no matter what happens to us, God will sustain us because God loves us and His love endures forever. It's that kind of gratitude when we come into and look at this a passage such as this, or we look at any of the Psalms or any of the passages. Gratitude is throughout. Gratitude is throughout the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. There's gratitude, giving thanks, giving praise, all of those things. The power of gratitude in our lives changes the way we can view God. And I think that's one of the reasons why this is a discipline. It's a discipline because you have to work at it. It's not something that comes easy. You've got to spend the time to engage God in this way. Because when you do that, and when we come with gratitude, it changes the fact that we realize that God really does care for us. He really does provide for us. I don't know about you, but I know that when situations get tough for our family, when maybe finances get a little bit tight, maybe when situations come in and it's just one more thing and we wonder, God, is it ever going to stop? We tend to stop focusing on the gratitude and we start focusing on the problems. We start focusing on what we don't have as opposed to what we do have. And that's when we start then pleading with God, God, I need this, God, I need that, instead of recognizing, God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Because that gratitude, that power of the gratitude, can change a really hard situation and remind us of something that's really powerful, that God is still here, God is still on the throne, He still loves me, His love endures forever. And it's that kind of relationship that, as I delve into that, that can produce a real strong foundation in my life. That's why it becomes a spiritual discipline. You have to work at it, and it has to be something that happens on a daily basis. Secondly, as I look at this, gratitude, the power of gratitude, changes the way we can engage God. It changes the way we engage God. And for this, I want to look at Philippians 4, 1 to 8. And as we look at Philippians 4, one of the things I realize here is it's a very familiar passage. When we talk about when Paul is preaching and teaching and writing to the Philippians, he's talking here about how we need to have a rejoiceful heart, when we need to rejoice in the Lord always. And they were going through some struggles. They were going through some challenges. And yet in the midst of that, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And, you know, as we look at that, how can we rejoice in the midst of challenges? How can we rejoice in the midst of difficulties? And it seems really counterproductive. You know, society teaches us to hold things really tightly. And here we're talking about, in the midst of all of this, we need to hold things loosely. We need to let loose the grasp of what we're holding on to and let God continue to speak into us. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And then it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, and then this is the most important part, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you see what happened there? We're told there that we need to rejoice in the Lord always, which, if you're like me, that's hard. And then it says, do not be anxious about anything. Well, I don't know about you, but that's challenging for me to not be anxious. There's times where anxiety can well up within me. And I know that's true for many of us. But then it says, but in everything by prayer and petition, which is true. Those are things that we know are important, to pray, to petition before God. But the part sometimes that we forget is this one little phrase that says, with thanksgiving. Right? That's the part that's really important. With gratitude, with thanksgiving, we need to come before Him and pray and bring our requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, the power of gratitude in the midst of our anxious moments, in the midst of our times where we just don't want to rejoice, cuts through all of that. And it reminds us here that God is still in control. God is still on the throne. And God has a purpose for all that we go through. And God can redeem any of that. And we miss that, though, when we go straight to the request. But when we come to God with thanksgiving, when we come to God with that gratitude in our lives, we recognize some very important things. We still have the things that God's given us. Those aren't gone. And that even though when difficulties come, we still have much to be thankful for. Because it's not the things that bring the gratitude, it's the Creator. It's God that brings the gratitude in our lives. That no matter whatever happens, even Job wrestled with this. His family was gone. God took his family. God took his all of his livestock, everything that he had. And yet he was still grateful. He still worshiped God. Why? Because he knew the power of gratitude. He knew the fact that his gratitude wasn't dependent on what he had. It was dependent on who he had, which was Jesus, which was God. And so for us, as we look at this, as we reflect on all that he has done for us as well, there's lots that we have. Gratitude is something that can change the way we engage God. So as we come to God this Thanksgiving and beyond, how are we engaging God? What is it that needs to happen? What is it that needs to take place that adds that thanksgiving, that adds that gratitude to how we come to God so that we can engage Him in a different way? That's a discipline that's not easy. That's a spiritual discipline that if we put our mind to it, we're going to start seeing some things change about how we pray even and what we pray for. And that's going to be a powerful thing in the hands of God, because that's what He chooses to use in that powerful way. And then thirdly, as we come to this passage, we look at the fact that the power of gratitude comes ultimately from the presence of God in our lives. And I've already alluded to this numerous times, but I want to look at 1 Thessalonians verses 5 to 18. 1 Thessalonians, as we come to this passage, is talking about what does it mean to be the children of light? What does it mean to come and it says, now the difficult times are coming, but what does it mean to be the children of light in the midst of challenging times? We're in challenging times, and we know that. Every day we wake up hoping that this whole thing of COVID is gone, but we find that it's not. And as a result of that, we're still here. But how can we live in the midst of that, being filled with gratitude, having that discipline of gratitude? And as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to look specifically at verses 16 and 18. And it says this, be joyful always. Oh, it's again, one of those things where it's telling us to do the things that are very hard to do. But be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, as you unpack that a little bit, we recognize, again, we're told to do something that's hard, to be joyful. It's okay to be joyful once in a while because there's things that go well and it helps us to have joy. But we know the difference between joyfulness and happiness is the difference in circumstance. Happiness is dependent on our circumstance. When everything is going well, it's sure easy to be happy. But when things are not going well, we don't tend to walk around with happy faces, do we? But joy comes from something much deeper, much greater. And it comes, despite the circumstances, we can have joy. and we can have joy to the full. But here it says again, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances. But you notice something there? It says in all circumstances, not just the ones that you like, not just the ones that benefit you, not just the ones that are able to lift you up. In all circumstances, we are to give thanks. Because it's in those circumstances, if we can understand what God is at work in our lives, we can embrace what He's doing in our lives. And so gratitude comes ultimately not from what we have, not from the things that we do, but from the presence, the very presence of God in our lives. That's not an easy thing to grasp. That's not an easy thing to take hold of, you know, because so often we look at the things that we have and that's what brings gratitude. But sometimes there's things that we want and that we can't have. Sometimes there's things that we've lost that we wish we could have back. And the gratitude sort of dissipates. The thankfulness dissipates. But when we have that heart of gratitude and the power of that gratitude changes because we still have God in our lives. And we cling to Him with every fiber of our being. When we hold on to Him, no matter what goes on around us, that's when we can have gratitude. Because we know the one that gives it to us. You know, when we look at David and as he looks at all the Psalms that he wrote, one of the things I picked up and I noticed early on in my Christian walk was this, that many of the Psalms are written based on David's heart to God, but also God's heart for David. David had a heart after God for sure. But he embraced and fully understood God's heart for him. And that's actually a huge difference there. He had gratitude. And it means that, you know what, he didn't do things perfectly. He didn't always make the right decision. He didn't always follow after God the way he should have. But the one thing I notice over and over and over again is that he had a heart after God because he understood God's heart for him. And so I encourage us as we reflect on these things, on these passages that we have here, one of the things that I just help us to realize is that, you know what? Gratitude doesn't come from the things we have. Gratitude does not come from the things that we do, but it comes from who He is in our lives. What is it that God is doing in our lives? What is it that God is allowing to have happen that even in the midst of all of that, there's gratitude there because God doesn't change. His love endures forever, as the writer of the Psalm said. That gratitude comes from His very presence in our lives. Now, I don't know about where you're at, but one of the things that for us as a family, we have done in the past that has been helpful because gratitude isn't an easy thing. Gratitude can be a real challenge, and so you have to work at it. And one of the things my wife did that early on is she saw this idea of this blessing jar. And every year we start a blessing jar and throughout the year we put in things that we are reflected on of what was a blessing. And we write it out and every one of us, and because there's seven of us in our family, we just write something really small. We don't say anything to anybody and we just stick it in the jar. And this jar was something that was really helpful for us because it allowed us to then at the end of the year or at Thanksgiving time, just open it up. And it reminded us, what were we thankful for? And it helped us to have a better idea of gratitude in our lives. That no matter where we were at that time in life, we saw God working step by step by step throughout our life, from January to February, from February to May, from May to August, from August to November, and November to December, all throughout the year, God's been at work. But I don't know if it's just my age or whether it's just because I'm a guide, but I don't remember these things really well. And so this was really helpful for us. And so we created this blessing jar and we put it up on the mantle and it would remind us. But you know what? It takes work. It took work for my wife to remind us, hey, we need to take some time to write down some blessings. And so we would write the blessings down and we would put them in the jar. And some years the jar was fuller than others, not because God wasn't blessing us, not because we didn't have blessing in our lives, but because we just weren't looking for it. And so the discipline in this is to look for it. The discipline is to look for the blessing, to look for that thing to be grateful for, to look for how we can see gratitude in our lives because of what God is doing and because of who God is. And that's the stuff that makes this so important for us. And that's what makes it so hard. I'm not sitting here because I've done this well. I'm sitting here because I've seen the power of gratitude in my life. And I see it each and every day when I look for it. But the challenge comes in, am I looking for it? Where is it that God is doing his thing? Where is it that I'm seeing God present in my life? And in the midst of that, as we go back to Psalm 136, his love endures forever. I will always have his love. I will always have his presence in my life. And it doesn't matter what wages around me, how difficult it gets, God's never going to leave me or forsake me. I'm grateful for that. And that power is what can change our lives. And so as we go through this time, as we think and reflect on these questions, I just encourage you, whether you're alone or whether you're with your family or whether you're with another group, to just take that time to reflect on the gratefulness, the gratitude, the power of gratitude in our lives. And as we see that open up a little bit more, to see God's purpose lived out in our lives even more. So as we reflect on that, let me just encourage you. This is not something that happens overnight. It's part of a life process. The power of gratitude is something that we've experienced in our family that as we've gone through the blessing jar from year to year, we've reflected on that. And I hope and I pray that, and I've experienced it, that it makes a difference, that it helps us to understand over the long haul the work that God is doing in our lives. The fact that we need to be a thankful people. We need to be thankful for all that we have and all that we've experienced. But more importantly, we need to be thankful for the God that we serve and the God that we love and the God that we follow. And so let me just encourage you. Let's start that. Maybe for you, this is something that you start. And the encouragement for you is just to start thinking, what am I grateful for? Having that gratitude, having that heart that is just used by God to be thankful for what we have and for who he is in our lives is so powerful. It's going to change us. And then maybe if it's a journal or something where you're even able to just write some of the things that God is doing in your life so that you can actually accentuate those, see those things come to be in a much more greater way instead of missing them because we don't take the time to pause and to reflect on that. So this Thanksgiving, we have much to be thankful for. Even though in the midst of the life that we have right now, there's lots been taken away from us, God is still there. God still loves us and God is still showing us how he provides and cares for us. And so this Thanksgiving, I pray that you and your family would have a wonderful time reflecting on his goodness to us, reflecting on his presence in our life, and reflecting on the power of gratitude that we have as a result of that. Let me pray. God, thank you so much that as we come this Thanksgiving, we are reminded not of only of what we have, but more importantly, of who you are in our lives. Father, we know that as a people, we have lots to reflect on and to be thankful for. And so we pray, God, that you would help us. Help us to take that time, to make that time to reflect on what you're doing in our lives so that, God, you would be evident in each and every step of our life. Father, we are grateful for all that you do for us as well. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for all that you've provided, how you deliver us, how you protect us, how you sustain us. And that, God, as we leave here now, we pray, Father, that this year, this next coming year, would be one where we reflect better and see the power of gratitude as we work at that discipline become more magnified in our lives. And may it change how we see you, how we see you at work in our lives, and how we can then see and proclaim your presence in our life in a very powerful way. So thank you, God, for that. Thank you for the life change that comes as a result of that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.